Welcome back to the Warren County Radio Bible School. When you hear that bell, I hope you'll go get your Bible. And if you will, turn in your Bible to Genesis chapter 45, and we'll begin reading there in just a few minutes and looking in detail at verses 13 through 15 as we're studying the life of Joseph. Now, we have just come to the climax of this story about Joseph, in which he has caught them in a trick and he has been fooling them. He has brought them all before him, having found his silver cup in Benjamin's sack. And Joseph is ready to send his brothers home without their little brother Benjamin. And in this way, he would have separated Benjamin from their brothers without their brothers ever knowing who Joseph was. And the brothers, they are fearful to return home to their father Jacob without their brother, being sure that if they do, that for grief Jacob, their father, would die. And so at this very climax, Judah, the fourth born of Jacob, steps to the forefront, and he declares that he will take the place of his little brother as a prisoner if they will send his little brother Benjamin home. And so at this climax, it's very interesting that in the story of Joseph, at the climax of the story, the hero is not Joseph, but is Judah, his brother. And so we're going to be reading about what happens following Judah's beautiful plea for to take him instead of Benjamin, let him take his place. That beautiful plea he made in Genesis 44. We'll read about what follows that in just a moment in Genesis chapter 45. So while you're turning to Genesis chapter 45, I would remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond Mountain, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m., and all are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And we're looking at a Sunday school lesson that was written by E.A. Elam for the Sunday of April the 15th, 1923. And we're in the part of this lesson where we read that Joseph weeps aloud for joy. You know, sometimes we weep tears of grief. And here we're going to see Joseph weeping tears of joy. Those emotions do some different things to us, don't they? Okay, so reading from the Sunday school lesson first, and then we'll get into the text. It says here, "So touched was Joseph at this tender reference to his aged father and departed mother, this noble plea for Benjamin, and Judah's unselfish proposition to be bound in Benjamin's stead, that he could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him. He was overpowered by his emotions and cried, 'Cause every man to go out from me,' in Genesis 45 and verse 1. He wished to be alone when he made himself known to his brethren. The meeting was too dear and full of emotion to be witnessed by strangers. Joseph did not wish others to hear the reference to the sins of his brethren in selling him, which necessarily must be made. It was unnecessary to expose their guilt where it would do no good to any. And so in Genesis 45 and verse 2, we read that he wept aloud for joy. The Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard him and knew something extraordinary was going on. For good reasons, Joseph had not made himself known before to his brethren. He wanted to see that Benjamin was still alive and not the victim like himself of his brother's hatred and envy. He wanted his brethren to feel their dependence upon him, and he wanted to see if they had repented. He had now heard their honest confession of guilt among themselves when they thought he did not understand them and when they did not know him. He had witnessed their love for Benjamin and had heard the declaration of Judah's readiness to suffer in Benjamin's stead. If they really thought Benjamin had stolen the cup, which seems doubtful, they did not blame him, but showed a most tender regard for him. Joseph had also seen with what tenderness they regarded their father, and realized that now was the time and the providence of God to make himself known and to bring all down into Egypt to preserve them from the famine. Let's look at the explanatory notes for our text where Joseph makes himself known. It says in Genesis chapter 45 in verse 3, "And Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph. Does my father yet live? And his brethren could not answer them, for they were troubled at his presence. Joseph spoke to his brethren in their native tongue. How startling to them must have been the declaration, I am Joseph, and the question, does my father yet live? He had heard them speak of his father, but doubtless wanted to be reassured that he was alive. Joseph had been a slave. He had been in prison. He was then second only to the king of Egypt, and his heart had been at Hebron in Canaan. Many are the sad things connected with this story of Joseph. Many are the joyous ones which are now to follow. His brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. They had various reasons for being troubled. Well, they had a guilty conscience. And second, they realized they were in Joseph's power. And third, they did not know what he would do in the way of taking vengeance. So in Genesis 45 and verse 4, it says that Joseph said unto his brethren, Come near to me, I pray you. And they came near. And he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. The declaration that he was Joseph may have caused them to shrink back from him, but more likely they stood at that distance which would intervene between a ruler and his inferiors. Joseph wished to embrace and kiss them, as he's going to do later in the chapter in verses 14 and 15, and they came near. He reassured them that he was Joseph, their brothers, for whom they had sold into Egypt. He did not state the latter fact in a revengeful spirit to remind them of their sins, but to assure them that he was really Joseph, their brother. The second part of these notes is how Joseph comforted his brethren. Looking in Genesis 45 and verse 5, it says, Joseph said, And now be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves that you sold me thither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. Seeing the perplexity and distress of his brethren, Joseph comforted them, saying, Be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves that you sold me thither. They were not ready yet to seek forgiveness, but here, for their peace of conscience, Joseph exhorted them to forgive themselves. He also rejoiced in that he had suffered because of the good to others that came of it. He then showed his brethren how God had overruled the whole affair for the good of all. For God did send me before you to preserve life. Three times in this conversation, Joseph makes the statement that God sent him to Egypt. Genesis 45 and verse 5, Genesis 45 and verse 7, Genesis 45 and verse 8, and once that God made him Lord over all of Egypt, Genesis 45 and verse 9. But we read in Genesis 45 and verse 6, For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and there are yet 5 years in which there shall be neither plowing nor harvest. To emphasize the fact that God sent him there to preserve life, Joseph explained that while the famine had already continued 2 years, there would be yet 5 more years of it. He knew this because God had said it. There would be neither plowing nor harvest because of the hardness of the ground. In Genesis 45 and verse 7 it says, "And God sent me before you to preserve you a remnant in the earth, and to save you alive by a great deliverance." This is good for evil on Joseph's part, as well as on God's part. In this way God preserved the Israelites, a remnant in the earth, and saved them alive by a great deliverance. This forebodes the grievousness of the famine that was predicted in chapter 41. We're reading in verses 30 and 31. Many nations had suffered. And a remnant. Let me look here. Many nations had suffered, and even a remnant of the Israelites would not have survived for this merciful providence of God. God sent Joseph before his brethren for this purpose. The severity of the famine we can read about in Genesis chapter 47, verses 12 through 27. And let me read that to you. Genesis 47, beginning in verse 12. Joseph nourished his father and his brethren, and all his father's household, with bread according to their families. And there was no bread in all the land, for the famine was very sore in the land of Egypt and the land of Canaan, and they fainted by reason of the famine. And Joseph gathered up the money that was found in the land of Egypt and in the land of Canaan for the grain which they brought. And Joseph brought the money into Pharaoh's house. And when the money was all spent in the land of Egypt and in the land of Canaan, all the Egyptians came to Joseph and said, "Give us bread, for why should we die in thy presence? For our money faileth." And Joseph says, "Give me your cattle, and I will give for you your cattle, if money fail." And they brought their cattle unto Joseph, and Joseph gave them bread in exchange for the horses, and for the flocks, and for the herds, and for the asses. And he fed them with bread in exchange for the cattle of the year. And when that year was ended, they came unto him the second year, and said unto him, "We will not hide from my lord how that our money is all spent, and the herds of our cattle are my lord's, and there is naught left in the sight of my lord but our bodies and our lands. Wherefore should we die before thine eyes, both we and our land? Buy us and our land for bread, and we and our land will be servants unto Pharaoh. And give us seed, that we may live and not die, and that the land not be desolate." So Joseph bought all the land of Egypt for Pharaoh. For the Egyptians sold every man his field, because the famine was sore upon them, and the land became Pharaoh's. And as for the people, he removed them to their cities from one end of the border of Egypt even to the other end thereof. Only the land of the priest bought he not. For the priest had a portion from Pharaoh, and did eat of the portion which Pharaoh gave them. Therefore they sold not their land. Then Joseph said to the people, "Behold, I have brought you this day and your land before Pharaoh. Lo, here is seed for you, and ye shall sow in the land. And it shall come to pass at the ingatherings that ye shall give a fifth unto Pharaoh, and 4 parts shall be your own for seed for the field, and for your food, and for them of your household, and for the food of your little ones." And they said, "Thou hast saved our lives. Let us find favor in the sight of my lord, and we will be Pharaoh's servants." And Joseph made it a statute concerning the land of Egypt unto this day, that Pharaoh should have the fifth. Only the land of the priest alone became not Pharaoh's. And Israel dwelt in the land of Egypt, in the land of Goshen, and they gat them possessions therein, and were fruitful, and multiplied exceedingly. So verily, yes, It was a severe famine in the land, and it was through the providence of God that God had used Joseph to preserve this land, or this people, these children of Egypt, this remnant. And we'll take up there with our story in our next class session in Genesis chapter 45 and verse 8.